you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Jude. I don't think Jason has it ready, but I'll give you a minute. Book of Jude, it's just a small book, just a couple pages to read. It's got a lot to say, though, in such a short little book. It's got a lot to say. And he says something here that I want to bring out tonight, and it just kind of hit me, and I wanted to share it with you tonight. And let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for your holy presence in my life. Thank you for being here in this church. Lord, thank you so much for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Just let me speak tonight what you want me to say, Lord. Lord, speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. I like that. Mercy, peace, and love be in abundance. We want all that in our life, right? I'm glad that God gives us mercy. We want mercy from other people too. But I'm glad that he says, I want you to have that in abundance. I want that, right? I want that in abundance. I want mercy in abundance, especially. But I also want peace. We don't get a lot of that, it seems like, in our life. It seems like every time we start to feel peaceful, something else comes along, right? You ever feel that way? But when we have those moments of peace, it's wonderful, isn't it? And so he says, I want you to have that abundantly, that peace and love. We want love abundantly. We love it. I mean, I desire that. I say, I love it. I love love, you know. But, we want that from each other. We want to share that. You know, I love how he starts that out. And he said, but dear friends, he kind of changes his tune here a little bit. He said, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. That word contend there, when I think of contend, I think of two boxers standing up getting ready to fight, right? They're contending, right? And I remember as a kid, I remember that I got to watch Muhammad Ali fight. And I remember in 1980 was his last fight. He fought Holmes, and he lost, actually. But he was getting older. And just prior to that, in 1978, he had lost another battle. He contended again to Leon Spinks. And I could keep going back, but Muhammad Ali was a very special guy. But, you know, he didn't believe in Jesus. You know, I think about that. His whole life that he changed his name. He went through all these things and became Muhammad Ali. He was actually Cassius Clay. I think some of you know this. But when I think of the word contend, I think about that. Boxing kind of comes to my mind. Something else may come to your mind. But that contend means to fight, means to... Where's my phone then? I looked at that. I always like to look up definitions. I want to tell you what it says. It says to struggle, to surmount a difficult or danger, to cope with, to face, to grapple, to deal with, to take, to come up against, to assert something as a position, to argue. I could keep going, but you think about those words, to struggle or to surmount something, to struggle with. And he's saying, I felt compelled to write to you to urge you to contend for your faith, to struggle, to fight for your faith. And why would he say that? Because we know that it is a fight. And he goes on to say, he says, the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who perverted the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all of this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people. I want to go back to that. He says, though you already know this. And I think sometimes, you know, we hear things and we already know this. I don't have to tell you these things. Sometimes you know what we're you know what Jude's saying here. I don't have to tell you this is what Jude's saying, but I want to remind you. And, you know, me as a pastor, that's what I have to do. I have to remind you of these things. You know, if you're reading and studying your Bible, you'll read these things and you'll, you know, but sometimes things like this just kind of come out at you. And so, but I want to remind you. He says, I would like to remind you, you know, at one time the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling. These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example for those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do not understand by instinct are irrational animals do, just as they do, will destroy them. I want to stop right there for a minute. Does this sound familiar? We see this in the world today, that there's irrational people that go around slandering things that go on, and they manipulate the word, and it says, you know how people crept in into your, like you got people that creep into your life sometimes that kind of manipulate you by saying certain things that you know is really not true, but you continue to be their friend, you know, hoping that you, but sometimes we have to be careful with that. That's that contend for the faith. That's that fight for the faith so that we're not deceived by things like that. And he says, I want to remind you of these things because this has been happening for thousands of years, right? This has been happening. So he says, I want to remind you of this. I want to remind you of this. Woe to them, he says, verse 11. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed to profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These people are blemishes at your love's feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars from whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesies about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words, now remember this, all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Not only the acts that they have committed, but also the words that they've said that were against him. You think about that. You know, that kind of puts it out there, doesn't it? You know, we got to be careful about even what we say. Because one day, you know, and I know there's people out there today, and this is the reason I'm bringing this up. There's people out there today that, you know, they don't even, I'm not going to say it's a sin not to go to church on Sunday nights or not to go to church on Wednesday. I'm not going to say that. But what I'm saying is we've got into this time in the church, in the world, that, you know, Sunday morning's good enough. One service, that's all you need to do. You go to church, you know, you're good enough. You sit in a pew, you listen to songs, you hear a sermon, you go home, and you go live your way in the world the way you want. And as long as you believe in Him, that's okay. You can, you know, it's all right. Because we're all sinners. We all mess up. We all do things wrong. And, you know, we sin, thought, word, and deed. We do all these things, right? We hear all of these things. But yet, what's the Scripture say? What's the Scripture say? He's saying right here, be careful about what you say. Be careful about what you do. Because one day, thousands upon thousands of angels are going to come back with Jesus Christ, and then at the great judgment, you're going to be judged for everything that you say and everything that you've done, whether it's good or bad. I want to be on the good side, right? It's not about what we do, though. We have grace, right? But it's about the heart. It's about the repentance that we go through. It's about, you know, the heart. It's about living in the Spirit. And He's going to hit on this. I lost my place here. Okay. All right. Verse 16. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, I like this, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. They follow after their own natural instincts. They think what they want to believe. Hear me now. They think what they want to believe. They think that's what's right. You've heard people say, well, that's not what I think. You know, I know what it says, but it's not what I think. I've had people tell me that. I've had people argue, you know, your Scripture says this. Well, that's not really the way I see it. That's not the way. I don't think God intended that for it to be that way. God's not going to punish anybody. We're all going to heaven. We're all going, you know. Well, if that was true, then what was the purpose of the cross? I mean, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. I mean, that would not make any sense at all if that were true. But he says, in the last times, there's going to be people that will do that. And I believe today, I've said this before, and I believe it with all my heart, we're living in that time right now. We see that. We're living in that last days, that time where we see people that try to manipulate the Scripture out of their own selfish desires because they want to do things their way. They don't want to do it God's way because it's too hard. You know, we have to contend for the faith. We have to fight for the faith. It's not easy when we're going through hard times in our life. When we're struggling and we face those battles in our life, it's not easy to always have that perky smile on your face. That, man, God's going to just take me through this. It's not always that easy, is it? I mean, I've been there. Sometimes it's like, Lord, what in the world is going on? I don't get it. But, you know, sometimes, you know, then, and like this morning when I, you know, God's in control. I have to remind myself that, you know what? It's not about what I think. It's not about what I do. It's not all that. I have to just have faith that God is in control. God's going to take care of it. And so I have to fight for that. I have to fight every day that I believe God is in control. God's going to take care of it. I believe that with all my heart. But he's saying, watch out for these people that will slip in. Watch out for these people. Not only slip into the church, because I think there's people in the church like that too. Not in this church, though. Everybody in here is good. You know, everybody's good in here. We're all going to heaven. I hope. That's up to him, right? But I'm saying, you know, there's people that do, that are like this. And I know people like that. But be careful when people come into your life that are like this. Be careful, because they can be destructive to your faith. They can destroy your faith. They can destroy your spirit. And he's saying, you know, that I want to remind you of this. I want to go back to that from the beginning. I want to remind you, know this. You know this. He said, but I want to remind you. And he goes on to say in verse 20, he says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. I love that, as you build yourselves up. You know, and that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do for people. I want to build people up. I want to make people feel more faithful. And, you know, I want to bring that to people. And not only that, you know, I have to continue to build myself up. So I need you guys to pray for me to build me up, right? We need each other. And I say this over and over. That's why it's so important that we come to church. I need my church family. I need my church family, not just Sunday morning. I need them Sunday night. I need them Wednesday. I need them Monday through. I need them every day. I do. Because we're here for each other, to build each other up in faith. Amen?
Amen.
And I love this, because I need you guys. I need you guys in my life. Out there in the world, we don't get that. There's so many people out there ready to tear you apart. They want to tear you down. It's like they don't want you to be happy. I mean, you know people like that? They just can't stand for somebody to be happy because their life's so miserable. I don't know. You know, I don't get it. It's because they don't have Jesus in their life. If they had Jesus in their life, they'd understand it, but they don't. But here he says, you know, and it's, sometimes you want to get aggravated at people. You really do. There's some people you just really want to just like, don't you get it? You know, you almost want to grab them and say, come on, don't you get it? You keep doing the same dumb stuff over and over again. Come on. But he says here, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others, and I love this part. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. One of them. I've got a bunch of them, but this is one of my favorites. He said, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. That's pretty strong words, isn't it?
Amen.
But it's also how we should be. We got to be merciful to people. Why? Because Christ showed mercy to me. When I doubted, when I feared, when I had all this sin in my life, I had mercy shown to me. I had mercy shown to me by some saints in the church. I did. If it wasn't for faithful people around me, I may have wandered way away from the church and never came back. But because of praying saints in the church and people showing mercy to me and the mercy of my Lord and Savior, I can stand here today and say, I believe in Him 100%. And I'm going to follow Him. I'm glad somebody snatched me out of the fire, right? Amen? That's the truth. That's what, you know, that's why God left us here. We got to snatch people out of the fire. Because there is going to be a great judgment one of these days. And that's the truth. We can't preach around that. You know, some people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear about the hell. They don't want to hear about the judgment. They don't want to hear that stuff. That's old stuff. We don't talk about that. Talk about that, you know, runs people off. Well, but it's the truth. You know, it's the truth. And then Jude closes with this wonderful prayer. He says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. I love that. You know, when we stand before God one of these days, if we've kept the faith, if we've contended for the faith, we'll be able to stand before God, just as it says here, without fault, without blemish. I could go on, there's other scriptures. Spotless, because of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. That's why. He's the one that did it. And He says, to the holy God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority from Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
I love this book. It's got a lot in it. And I hope that you take something away from it tonight. I hope you leave here with something in your heart that helps you this week. You know, I have to remind you. It's just like Jude said, I'm here to remind you. You know most of this, but I'm here to remind you. Here's what we have to do. And I hope you contend for the faith this week.